Well, good morning. It's because I had to dance is why I'm sitting down. Nah, just kidding. Whoever tells you that you're not allowed to worship freely and to celebrate and to clap and to dance in a church when you're honoring and worshiping the Lord, I would run from that church. How can you not dance? How can you not worship a God that has given us so much in the good things and in the hard times as well? This morning, I wanted to do something different. This morning, I'm not necessarily preaching. I'm not even sure if I'm even actually really teaching. I want to just share with you. We've been talking about Acts for the past several weeks, and we know that in Acts it's all been about the starting of a church. We've watched this church begin to establish, and we watched the power of the Holy Spirit come down on these people. And then I wonder what they were probably thinking about. I wonder what they were probably feeling at that time, knowing that they have just received something that they've never received ever in their life. A different feeling, a different way of doing things. Their eyes open, their minds open, their hearts open. And maybe for the first time, they sacrificed in a way that they've never sacrificed before. Maybe they talked in a way that they've never, ever talked before. Maybe they've listened in a way that they've never listened before. Maybe they gave like they have never given before. And we've seen that over this past series. If you've been here these past several weeks, you've watched how the Holy Spirit has worked. This is not a long message today for those of you that are realizing that the game changed from I thought the, you know, no, I'm not getting that. During our Sunday school, we talked about that, how the time changed for the Cowboy game. But we don't care. There's five truths I want to share with you, and I want to just get real. You are Living Hope Baptist Church, but you are Christian first. You are Living Hope Baptist Church, who we sang about, that believes in the crucifixion, in the resurrection. And these people believed in the crucifixion because they watched it. And they believe in the resurrection because they saw it. They saw him come back, and it completely changed their life. But we're 2,000 years later. What happened in 30 AD, are we still experiencing that same feeling that these people felt? Five truths I would like to share with you. And it revolves around two main formal institutions. When we look at the scriptures, and when we look at what was going on in Acts, it says this in chapter 4, verse 32. Now the multitude of those who believed were one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of these things he possessed was his own, but they all had things in common. And with greater power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Institution number one was the family institution. What was the common ground? People were believing in their family. People were sharing in their family. People were praying in their family. People were sacrificing in their family. It was not just, hey, we believe in Jesus Christ, he's a good man. No, it was, we believe in Jesus Christ, and he's the Lord and Savior of our life, and he wants us to do something now. And we are all, as a family unit, are going to follow what he says we should do. If we truly changed, if we truly believe in our heart that Jesus Christ died for our sins, then how should we be living in a family unit? And these people were selling belongings and giving to the missions, and all of them were one in accord. And I want to ask you, how is your family doing? I want to get real quick. How is your family doing right now? How are you doing personally with your faith? When you go to bed at night and you're staring at your ceiling fan light, what's going on in your mind? What's going on in your faith? How are you doing? How is your family doing? Are you talking? Are you truly worshiping together? Are you really exposing each other to the gospel? Are you really living for the Lord? I can only speak for my family. You guys know me, right? You guys know me. It's hard, isn't it? At times it can be hard, and at times it can be really rewarding. At times you're going through hard things, and times you're just like, man, life is really, really good. How are you doing spiritually? Joshua 24:15 says, "But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then you choose today whom you will serve." And it goes on talking about gods who you will serve. "But as for me and my family, we will serve" what? See, you said that, not me. "We will serve the Lord." Because there's so many other gods out there that we can worship, and there's so many things out there that is truly pushing our swing and having us go a direction that maybe we shouldn't be going. When you close the doors at night, how is your family doing? How are you doing? Institution number one. Institution number two is the church. As your pastor, grateful pastor, how am I doing? It's kind of rhetorical, but thank you. We're putting her on staff. What did she say? Oh. How are we doing as a church? People were added to the numbers, running close to over 10,000 people. People were serving one another, making great sacrifices, and putting their name, putting their job, putting their reputation, putting their life on the line. Imagine what it was like for those kids in school. What were they at home learning, and what were they telling their friends at school? I wonder what the children were talking about, what they learned during temple worship at Sunday school, and what they came home and said, "Dad, Mom, look what I learned." I wonder what us as adults are teaching our children, or have we even spent any time with our children even talking about anything that deals with the kingdom and about spiritual things and about life-changing things and the things that actually last forever. As grandparents, what are you investing into your grandchildren and your children? What are we doing as a church institution? Psalms 133:1 says, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity." Ephesians 4:16 says, "From the whole body, joint held together, but by everything supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." How is each part of the body doing right now? Are we doing our part as an institution within the church? Let's get real. Let's get real with our family. If we're not doing it at home, then how in the world are we going to do it at church? Now, I'm not saying that we're not. Many of us, all of us, none of us, I don't know. I think we're doing some great things here. God is at work through Living Hope and through many of you guys. So truth number one, there will always be people who will praise God and worship His Son Jesus and desire to live as a Christian. The church of Philadelphia, an example of that, through that love and God saying, be faithful, church. Be a loving church in Revelation chapter 3. There is always going to be people who will praise God and worship His Son and desire to live a Christian life. Truth number two. There will always be people who will be offended by God, reject His Son Jesus, and persecute those who desire to live by faith as a Christian. We assume that everyone that is sitting here today, or maybe listening later on online, that we are probably going to be one. We're going to be that first one. That we're never going to persecute other people. That we're not going to ever reject the gospel. That we're never going to turn our ways from God. That we're not going to ever become apostate. We're not going to become lukewarm. We're not going to ever fall from the Lord. When in all actuality, we know that churches are filled with people like that within time. Matter of fact, before the Lord comes back, it says that apostasy has to happen first. Before the Antichrist comes back, the apostate, the falling away of Christian believers. I didn't say the falling away of the world. I'm saying the falling away of Christians that claim to be Christ-like, that claim to have given their life to Christ. That's going to happen. That's truth number two. Truth number three. There are no perfect churches out there, and there never will be. Ever. We have had people come here from all different churches, and you guys have come from different churches, haven't you? Many of you. If they were perfect, you would still be there. And sometimes people don't come back here because we're not perfect. We're not a perfect church. See, the churches are made up of people like me. Sinners. Saved by what? Saved by what? Grace. There's no perfect churches. And when we're studying Acts, you're going to say, well, this church is doing pretty good. I mean, this church, look at what Peter and John, and it is growing by 10,000 people. People are coming to know the Lord. They're leaving from their families, and they're becoming missionaries, and they're disciples of Christ, and they're starting these churches, and all these wonderful things are going on. You're right, for 2 months. As I shared with you, Ananias and Sapphira, what happened? How long? It didn't take long before we realized that, oh my goodness, the church is still filled with sinners. Saved by what? Grace. And God said, you know what? We have to get real. We have to get real. We got to call it as we see it. We got to be able to be real with who we are as a church. D.L. Moody says this: you may find hundreds of fault finders among professed Christians, but all their criticism will not lead one solitary soul to Christ. If you have joined in the last 3 years, I did this with you in new members training. When I was done, and some of you are going to know this, right before they left my meeting with them, I said, I apologize. And they all looked at me kind of weird. And they said, why are you apologizing? I said, because if it's not going to be me, it will be one of the members of this church that's going to disappoint you, that's going to offend you. We are going to run out of donuts. coffee may get cold. You're not going to enjoy every single song. You may not like what I have to say. Somebody is going to get offended in the children's area, and somebody's going to be mad at the youth pastor. It's going to get too hot in here, and it's going to get too cold in here. It's going to be too loud with the drums. So we'll build a cage. The lights are flickering too much. It's too red up there. It's too bright. It's too dim. Are we being critical as a church? I wonder what the apostles were thinking. I wonder what Jesus was watching within this church. And we got to remember 10,000 people, 10,000 different personalities are coming together in one accord. And I wonder how everybody was doing with each other. I want to ask our church, since I'm sitting here and just sharing my heart, what area of ministry or missions or service are you excited about? What are you excited about? I want you to be thinking about that. What area of service or ministry or missions are you excited about? If you don't have anything that you're excited about, it's my fault. Or you need to ask God what it is that's going on in your life. What are you concerned about in this church? What's like on the forefront? What's on your heart about this church and being the church? What's on your heart? What are you posting the most? What are you praying about the most? What are you journaling about the most? What's keeping you up at night, and what's helping you go to bed and rest well? I want you to think about something. I want you to think, what is it here in this church that you could foster? Take the whole idea of becoming a foster parent, and I want you to think, how can you foster some type of ministry here? What is it that you want to foster? What is it that you would like to be a steward of? Because remember, we don't own any of it. You guys brought me in here. You guys can take me out. Right? What are we fostering, though? What are you fostering in your ministry here? What are you taking care of? What are you praying about? What are you concerned about? What are you excited about here at Living Hope and being the church? If you're not willing to foster anything, then what's your position? Truth number four. We're almost done. The fourth truth I would like to share is this. There will always be hypocrites among the people of the church. Now, this is people, when we understand what hypocrisy means, this is people living contrary to what they not only believe, but what they tell other people. So they're saying one thing, but they're living a completely different. The definition of hypocrisy is a pretense of a virtuous character, moral or religious beliefs or principles that one does not really possess. Let's get real. Are we living the way that God wants us to live, the way that we say that we are living? Are we? Am I living the way? Any fool can criticize, complain, and condemn, and most fools do. But it takes character and self-control to be understanding and forgiving. The gospel that we're reading every single day, it preaches holiness. It preaches sanctification. I want you to repeat this word, and we don't have too much longer. We are in process. Go ahead and say it.
We are in process.
Thank you. Would you say it one more time? We are in process. We're in process. I want you to think about a church being built or a cathedral being built. As it's being built, is it very beautiful? No, not really. When you see the finished product, is it beautiful? Yeah. But why it's being built, a lot of times it doesn't look so pretty. You can imagine it's going to look pretty. You can go into it. You can see sides of it. You can even see the blueprints. You can even speculate. You can hope that it's going to. You can watch the people build certain parts of it, and certain parts of it begins to get more beautiful and more beautiful and more beautiful, and then all of a sudden there's still parts that's still being built, and that's what we are. We are in process. We are a temple. We are a cathedral. We are a church that's in process, still being built, and until we see Jesus Christ, we may not be so beautiful. There'll be parts of it that is beautiful. But we're still in process. And what happens is that the world is only looking at Christians that is still being built. Why are you like this as a Christian? Because I'm still being built. I'm in process, man. When I get to heaven, ask me that question. But I'm in process right now. I'm still being built. You and I are not perfect yet. But I do want to say that by our position, we are perfect. By our position, we are perfect. Not by anything that we've done and not anything that we will do. It's not by our works. By faith alone, by being justified in Christ, by being born again, God sees Jesus as he sees us. See, when God sees us, he sees that cathedral. He sees you as beautiful. As the world sees us, though, they still see us as in process. Now, Jesus, and we're talking about in terms of holiness, we're talking about sanctification. Colossians 1:22 says this, But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Hebrews 10:10, and by that will we have been made holy, sanctified through the sacrifice, through his offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. If we forget these two things, then we run into a life of hypocrisy. Number one, if we forget this, we are sinners saved by grace. And number two, we are in process. We have to remember that. We have to remember that the people that you talk to are in process. The people that you're dealing with in the church, we are in process. But I think it's easy for us to forget that, isn't it? When we are running a race, Paul talks about running a race several times. What's the first thing that you have to do when you decide that you want to run a race? You got to enter the race. That's the first thing. You got to commit. So I want to ask those of you, are you in the race? Have you truly actually committed to being in the race with Christ? Have you? And number two is, once you have committed to be in the race, your attitude has to be set up where you want to train daily, where you want to eat right, where you're accountable, where you're willing to make the sacrifices to be in the race. You'll never be able to run a race if you don't train, if you're not accountable, if you're not eating right, if you're not practicing, if you're not running the race. It's not going to happen. There's a reason why Paul uses this illustration in the Bible several times. And if your attitude is that of Christ, Philippians 2:5, and you want to be in the race, you've committed to be in the race, you can't quit the race. That's the apostate. That's the falling away. That's the lukewarm. You cannot fall. You can't say, I quit because I can't do this. Now, I'm watching everybody here today. And I want to share scriptures, and I'm almost through. Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Are you free? Do you feel free as a Christian to be you? Is the guilt off? I could not imagine trying to run a race with all a bunch of weights and backpacks and all this stuff of guilt on top of me. I need you to hear something. I need you to hear this from the bottom of my heart, and this is why I'm getting real with you. Many of you guys, and many times for myself, when I'm running this race, I feel like that we are running this race with so much guilt and so many things on us. God never intended you to run a race with weights on. He wants you to run free. He wants you to run your own race. What's Leslie's race is different from my race, and my dad's race, and my wife's race, and Jennifer's, and Kenneth's, and Jan's. It's a different race, but it's all one race. Everyone's at a different pace. But I do know this, is that when we see people falling behind, what made them fall behind? Is it the fact that they're not training? Is it the fact that they weren't eating right? Is it the fact that they had already quit? Is it the fact that there's so much weight on them that they can't get up and even try to run? What is it that's holding people back from running this race? And the church is designed, at least what I'm reading in scriptures, is designed to come together to help each other run this race for the Lord. And take that freedom that you have and take that burden, because you have to believe that if Romans 8:1 says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, then that should allow you to get up and run faster than anyone else. You're free. There's no more bondage. He looks at you, Jesus looks at you, God looks at you as He looks at Jesus Christ. But many of us are looking in the mirror and we're saying we're not worthy. And you're right, we're not worthy, but in Christ's name you are. Because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Every day we got to deny ourselves and pick up His cross. Every day we need to forgive ourselves. We need to ask for forgiveness, and then we need to be willing to forgive other trespasses, other people that hurt us. And truth number five, I like what the a pastor said, Matt Chandler. Many of you guys know who he is. He says, "Have no secrets that God already knows." Have no secrets that God already knows. This is time to really get real. If we really truly want to be the church that God has asked us to be, I hope that you hear this number, this fifth truth. Have no secrets that God already knows. Will we desire to have a type of relationship with others where we are willing to reveal who and what is truly going on in our lives? When you have doubt, does anyone ever have doubts in their faith? Does anyone have any struggles? It's okay. When we have doubts and struggles with sin, we should never, ever, ever look at them as a weakness in somebody. I think that's why we don't share. I think that's why we don't share. It's because when we have doubts and when we have sin we're struggling with, people will look at us and judge us or criticize us or look at us as we are spiritually weak. It's not true. Matter of fact, you know how bold and brave and beautiful you have to be willing to share your weakness with other people? You know how bold and brave and beautiful you have to be to repent and to turn about and say, God, I have really messed this one up. And I need to confess that. Not just to you, I may need to confess that to other people. See, the day we judge others is the day your hypocrisy will flare up. Jesus says, take the speck out of your own eye. There's a reason why he said that. Because he wants everybody to be open. He wants everybody to be vulnerable. We at Living Hope Baptist Church cannot be the church that God wants us to be unless we are in unity with each other. Unless we are helping one another. Unless we are loving one another. Unless we are following and striving to be there for each other. We got to be freed up to say, I'm struggling at home and as a believer and with our morality. I like what G. Campbell Morgan says as I come to an end. We cannot organize revival, but we can set ourselves to catch the wind from heaven when God chooses to blow upon His people once again. A revival is something that God does. And I think it's also a response from us. How bad do we want it? How bad do we really truly want our lives to look different? In the midst of who we are, at home and at the church, and personally with our walk with the Lord, how bad do we want it? I want to encourage you with this. And many of you guys are doing this, but for those that are not, quit trying to carry it on your own. Quit trying to carry it all on your own. We all need each other. Find someone that you can trust and that you can share everything with. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up, and so on and so forth. And though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. You may see sparks when you get real with somebody. You may see sparks. Things may flare up. They're supposed to. When you got Christians, iron and iron sharpening each other, you may see sparks. They may flare up. But what is it doing? It's sharpening. It's getting better. It's getting sharper. It's doing what it's supposed to do. And it may not be your spouse, and it may not be your kids, and it may not even be your best friends. Maybe who you share your heart with, truly everything with, maybe someone that you haven't even thought about, but maybe they're the one person that say, you know what, I can be open and honest with you because I trust you. And don't break that trust. Don't break that trust with that person. We can't be bold in our faith if we are pretending we are really bold and we're just not. We cannot be beautiful in our faith if we are pretending to be beautiful and we're not. We cannot be brave in our faith if we're being a bunch of wimps and we're pretending. We can't act like we have a great prayer life if we're never spending time in prayer. We can't act like we know God's Word if we really truly are not spending time in God's Word. We can't act like we're a good church member if we're barely ever here in church. We can't act like we're really doing God's work if we really have not committed to serving the Lord in some way and fostering some area that we need to. I'm just getting real. We got to take God, all of who God is, the parts that we love about Him and the parts that we're kind of nervous about because we don't want Him to really truly know. But when we take all of Him, as I said last week, don't you want Him to take all of you, how you are? All right, so I'm done. Here's the question. This is a different type of service, isn't it? I'm done. And I have one question to ask. And this is a rhetorical one. How are you doing, church? See, we're in an intermission stage right now in Acts. We can't really be the church unless we get real with each other. Today, I'm not really preaching. Today, I'm not sure if I'm really teaching. I'm just being a dad. Today, I'm being a husband. Today, I just want to be a friend. Today, I want to be your pastor. Today, I want to be a sinner saved by grace that's just trying to make it. Today, I want to be real with you guys so that way we can all leave here and feel free. If you walk out of here not feeling free, then there's something wrong. You need to walk out of here with joy. You need to walk out of here excited. Because either you have not given your life to the Lord, and today is your day, and you're going to be excited when you do, or you have already given your life to the Lord, and you're going to walk out of here excited because you're free. And God's got a purpose and a plan for your life. Don't walk out of here sad. This is a realization that I am going through this past couple of weeks where I said, God, I have no idea what you want me to teach. All I know is that right now, I just know that I'm supposed to get real with the church. I don't know what it's supposed to look like. I guess that's what it's supposed to look like right there. I don't know. What is it supposed to look like for you? What's it supposed to look like for you? Let's just get real. And let's be excited that God has set us free. Romans 8:1, memorize it. There are no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's the most liberating It's the most amazing. It's the greatest verse that you'll ever know. Run the race. Let's run this race together as a church. Let's run this race together as a church. Let's run this race together as a church. We all need each other. Okay? And so when I'm starting to slack back here, you know, I don't know how many people have asked me already today, how are you feeling, Troy? You feeling okay? You look all right? No, you don't look good. Mike said, I didn't even look good. I think you did, didn't you?
I did.
You did. Yeah. So I want to do something. Can we do something? Since it's kind of a different service, let's just go out just doing different. Can we hold hands? Can we make a circle and just hold hands? Carrie, these are your words. Go ahead, Carrie. I want you to pray. We're going to close with the time of invitation. Our praise band will, so you can find your seat back, or you're welcome to come up here and just spend time with the Lord. This is your time right now.